It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into a very special edition of the Sports Objective Podcast, an emergency podcast, and Joe Dooley is back, and so we're going to bring in Kyle from LaGrange. Kyle Barber, thank you so much for coming on, my friend, and I appreciate the short notice. We've been working hard on this for the last couple of days, you and I, and welcome in. I appreciate you coming on tonight.
No problem, David. This is the third emergency podcast. It was the first six, seven, eight episodes of the Sports Objective Podcast. So this is a heck of a start.
Yeah, I think it's three. If my memory serves me right, it'll be like three. If you count the trailer, the very first promo we did for the podcast was three out of eight. So do the math at home. It's too late for. We've been working on the story before we're going to do this podcast, so we're doing it late. Late Wednesday night, which means tomorrow there's going to be a big press conference, I understand. Certainly a big day for the Pirates, and it's certainly a great day for Pirate basketball. And we want to first give a little recap of, we'll try to be as brief as we can. It's been a roller coaster ride, but every coaching search is a roller coaster ride, right? For any kind of coaching search that you're looking for, no matter what sport, it's especially the revenue sports, it can be a little tedious.
Absolutely. The recap might be brief, but the coaching search was not. Seemed like it was never going to end. You know, it started with Comfort still here, and you heard a lot of rumblings of Ryan Odom, and, Dave Odom was part of the search committee, then kind of stepped off, and then, you heard all kinds of different names thrown out there, Bobby Lutz, and didn't know where it was going to go, but the one name you kept hearing consistently, no matter who was in charge of the search, was Joe Dooley.
And one of the great thing about the search was that the search started in early December. Of course, Jeff Levos, for people that don't know and they're listening, wherever you are, it started, Lebo resigned on November 29th, and the search started in early December. Names that I first heard, which to me, I didn't think, he went to the University of Georgia, Tom Crean, of course, who had been at Indiana. People had mentioned Mark Godfrey, who was NC State coach for a long time, or for several years, who went to, I believe it was UC Northridge, Cal Northridge, or something like that. And there was mentions of people wanting Rick Pitino. Maybe we could get a guy who knew how to coach, and he's looking for some redemption. He wants to coach again. There was all kinds of names thrown out. I guess you could throw coaches who unfortunately have passed away, like John Wooden, any kind of fantasy coaches, because they were just not going to – they were coaches that we should not get or we could not get, and we heard those. To me, I was looking into it first. Before I even knew about Dooley, I was looking into LaBelle Moton. He was a candidate, of course, the head coach and alum of North Carolina Central. He was big in the mix. The one that surprised me the most of this whole coaching search, though, those were quality names. Seth Greenberg, what did you think? I thought that was an interesting – he was one that came up of late in the last couple weeks.
I thought Seth Greenberg would have been a good choice. He did a good job at Virginia Tech. He did a great job at Virginia Tech. He did a decent job at South Florida before that. Way back before that, he was at help me out here, Dave.
I'm trying to think. It was
somewhere else. Somewhere else. It was somewhere on the West Coast. Can't think of it right now. The Dirtbacks. Good baseball program. Anyway, he was out there. So he had a good background taking schools to the NCAA tournament and winning, and particularly at Virginia Tech and South Florida, which are both football schools.
Right.
And so I thought it would have been a good fit had he came to East Carolina because of the background at coaching basketball programs at football schools and winning. And so I thought it would have been a good fit. He knew the area from being at Virginia Tech. But from what I understand, why things went south at Virginia Tech was he kept losing his assistants to other schools.
Correct.
Because Virginia Tech didn't want to invest financially in basketball. And my guess is, probably wanted a hefty amount of money for his coaching staff at East Carolina, and I think we're willing to pay, and I think Joe Dooley's contract shows that. But I think Greenberg, I think there was just some money issues there.
Yeah, and he had the same situation that we always fear, is that we're considered, obviously, a football school, but you want to be successful in basketball. He didn't want to run into the same situation he had at Virginia Tech, in which ultimately got him fired at the Hokies in Blacksburg, and so he didn't want to come in the same situation of not being able to pay the assistants. And that's something that we go through time and time again, even with football, is having trouble paying our assistants. I go back to my common theme I mentioned a million times on the podcast, or not a million, but a few. Let's get a coaching fund like Central Florida does, where we can put a fund in, the fans can pay for it, put money into it. So when we need extra money for our assistant coaches or head coaches, then we'll be well prepared. It's one of the ways that we can make up on our, we'll have to do another, we need to do a show on just our revenues, or certainly our budget, and certainly how much money we have in the athletic department. We'll have to do that on a separate show. We don't have time on this podcast tonight. I wanted to get your thoughts too on, it was a whirlwind. I think that, I think a week ago I knew there was going to be Joe Dooley, even though, you know, it's one of those things where you don't know, but you know. I think something
You've been saying this is last Thursday. It's going to be Joe Dooley. It's going to be Joe Dooley.
Yeah, I think that what happened initially, I was worried. And then all of a sudden something happened with Dave Hart and the folks at East Carolina did an excellent job. Got to give them tremendous credit. They came up – one of the concerns with Dooley, from his perspective, was the overall budget for the basketball program. And he did not want to come to East Carolina if they were not going to make – a real commitment to basketball. You know, it's one thing if you say, yeah, I'm going to do something. It's another thing if you actually do it. Just like in life, in this particular case, they came through for him, and obviously they satisfied him enough to go from, out of, what is it, 12 basketball schools, there's, I think my memory serves me right, we were 11th in total basketball budget. So we were a dead last. And then you have to say, well, guess what? That's why we're most likely finishing, or one of the reasons, not the only reason, we're finishing towards the bottom. So you have that. My understanding, I don't know the numbers on it, but my understanding is it's now gone from 11 to middle of the pack is what Joe wanted. He wasn't greedy and saying, hey, I want the number one budget. So I think that's really good for the Pirates. This is a good day because you get he is a guy that can get you back to the dance. It's been 25 years. I think that there's a lot of positives. So there may be negatives, but there's a lot of positives. The one thing I want to talk to you about is, for me, I've never heard a bad word about Dooley while he was here and post when he was here, which was hard to believe 19 years ago. I've always heard a lot of positive things about Joe personally and professionally. How about you?
Never heard anybody say a bad thing about Joe Dooley. He was very well liked when he was here by fans, by media. You know, his mom and dad live here in the East. A great reputation at Kansas. He had a great reputation as a recruiter. Parents liked him. So no, never heard a bad word uttered about Joe Dooley as a person. So not only are we getting a great coach, we're getting a great guy. And he was such a young guy when he was here before, became a head coach here in his late 20s. And
29. I mean, I think that's going to be a record. 29, he was.
That is Lincoln Riley-ish.
Yes, it was. He was the assistant, of course, of Eddie Payne. And then one of my favorite people in ECU history, he was the acting AD at the time, Henry Van Zandt. Henry Van Zandt was a real character. For people that don't know him, I'm going to tell you a quick story. You'll love this, Kyle. It's a football story. We'll kind of. He told us one time at a press conference during the Logan era, in the late 90s, he said, guys, he said, if you know of a football coach, if he has golf clubs and he plays golf, I'm not going to hire him because he's probably going to spend more time on the golf course than coaching football. So I'll never forget him. He was one of my all-time favorites at ECU as far as administrators, but he's the one that hired Dooley back then, and Dooley had four good seasons. He was 57-52. He had, I think it's the highest winning percentage that I know of, at least in modern ECU basketball. You may have to go back before that, but in my time as an ECU fan, as an ECU student, and then, of course, a member of the media, He's got the best winning percentage. To have a winning record at East Carolina basketball is monumental. And it's five games over 500, but hey, that's good. And I think that for me, I'm interested to see. I know you have the numbers. Before we get into anything, let's go into the numbers. You have the contract, don't you, of what Dooley's going to get? I know it's a five-year deal, right?
Yes, a five-year deal. Hold on, I'll pull it up. I don't have it right here. In front of me in just a second.
Okay, well, I can give a little bit of it. It's actually a five-year deal, which will go to, you're looking at up, May 31st, 2023. And for those wondering how it breaks down for Dooley, he's going to get a $400,000 base. So it's pretty much the same as Lebo did. And then interesting thing, too, that was thrown in here is a $275,000 fundraising and season ticket money for Joe to do that, right?
$275,000 for promotional gigs, for season tickets, for Power Club appearances, and then $225,000 for his radio and TV show, which will increase over the 5 years to a max of $325,000 by year five. So he's going to be pushing that $1 million mark. Pretty close anyway, by the time year five gets here. He's, 900 to a million.
And we'll also, once we have more stuff, we'll be able to break down things or talk more about it. But certainly just looking at that, it's a really good competitive salary for a guy that was making $350,000 at Florida Gulf Coast. And get this, folks, things change. And, of course, when a huge conference, and I told you this before, my friend, let's see if you remember. Do you remember how much Dooley was making back in the 90s as the coach at East Carolina University?
I believe you said $65,000. I find that hard to believe. My God, $65,000?
Yes, it was. It was roughly $65,000 in that neighborhood. So this is what's amazing, how much the times change.
Yeah, how times have changed. My God. And inflation, yeah.
The commitment to basketball is my point. I think that they're showing a real commitment to basketball. This is a huge basketball league. I think we don't have the time to go into it, but when you look at the from top to bottom, the basketball, as you and I have talked about, is it's a basketball league. When you look from all the schools, including UConn, is going to be again. You look at Temple's huge, Cincinnati, Memphis. When you look at SMU. Houston, and you look at Tulane, Mike Dunleavy Sr. is doing a great job at Tulane.
Tulsa yes. has a good history.
Tulsa has a great, you look at Wichita State coming
Absolutely.
Into the league
Shockers,
now.
Yeah.
With Greg Marshall, what I was getting at is you look at the good basketball programs. I know you're a football guy, my friend, and I am too, but when you look at the basketball league, you have to pick Joe Dooley. And here's where I'm going to go with this. I've been thinking about this all night. I woke up. Said, man, I wish I could record. I was on fire early this morning. But anyway, the more I thought about it, it makes perfect sense for many reasons to have Dooley. And I'm going to give you my reasons right now. You want to look at the university over the last couple of years has been gambling a lot. Okay. Even with Terry Holland going into the Big East, which became the American, you could say, hey, we've gambled there because we had to spend money to get out of Conference USA and the Big East, which became the American. We had to pay an entry fee, which we've been in the red for that. You look at the pick of Comper as the athletic director, which didn't work out. That was gambling. It may be gambling on Scotty Montgomery. We'll have to see how that turns out at the end of this year. So there's been a lot of gambling going on. For various reasons with the university. Picking Dave Hart was a safe bet. Chancellor Staten picked him. They got him back. You look at now with Joe Dooley, it's a safe bet for basketball. Yes, you would like to pick a Ryan Odom, who was one of the hottest coaches and had the biggest upset win in tournament history. I don't see how you could say it's not a 16 being a 1. But what if that's the biggest win he ever has? You just don't know. I think he's a great coach. I think he's going to do well. I don't have anything personally against him. But you know what you're getting with Dave Hart right now. You know what you're getting with Joe Dooley. He knows Greenville. His parents are here. he's only 52. And I think that if he does have a successful thing, this could be his last stop where, who knows, maybe he'll coach 10 or 15 years. I'm not getting ahead of myself. He's been to the dance a lot as an assistant, a few times as a two or three times, I think, with as Florida Gulf Coast, twice at Florida Gulf Coast. And he's had, of course, NIT appearances. He's done very well. He's been very successful. Some have called one of the worst decisions that in firing Logan. That Hamrick ever made. And so anyway, we'll see how it turns out. But I think there's a lot of positives. Do you have any? What do you think?
I mean, I think it's a good hire. I think what you said about it being a safe bet, I think it was. I think it was just that. I think it was a, I think it was a safe hire. And I don't mean that in a negative way at all. And neither did you. It was definitely a safe hire, but it was a good hire.
Yeah.
It wasn't a gamble. Ryan Odom, like you say, it would have potentially been a gamble. Now, when you gamble, you can do one of two things normally. You can lose all your money and lose Scotty Montgomery, or you could hit the jackpot. So, you know, Ryan Odom could have been the jackpot, but he could have been another Scotty Montgomery. With Dooley, we're getting a guy that we know what we're getting, just like you said, and he knows what he's getting. He knows he's Carolina's a football school. He understands East Carolina. He was here before, and he wanted to come back. You know, so I think that shows, you know, what he thinks he can do here. He wouldn't want this job if he didn't think he could be successful here, and he didn't think he could. And I don't mean successful like he was before, 57 and 52. He wouldn't take this job and want to come back if he didn't think he could compete in the American Athletic Conference. He knows we're not in the CAA anymore. We're not playing William & Mary and George Mason and James Madison and UNCW, and nothing against those programs. Those are awesome, good programs there. But we're playing UConn, Memphis, Cincinnati, Wichita State, et cetera, and he knows he's going to have to recruit a whole other caliber of athlete now. He's going to have to recruit players to compete in this league. Now, we're not going to get Kansas-quality players, but he's going to have to recruit players closer to what he had at Kansas than what he had at Florida Gulf Coast if he wants to be successful in the American.
That's right. I got a funny side here, okay? Sidebar here for you. One of the funniest T-shirts I've ever seen was years ago at the tournament at the Colonial Athletic Association used to have their, I don't know if they still do, their basketball tournament at the Richmond Coliseum. One of the funniest T-shirts I've ever seen. It says George Mason football undefeated and has a record of 0-0 because they don't have a football team, or they didn't at the time. I just always thought that was really funny. But yes, I think he's going to have to. He's definitely going to have to recruit guys, and I can promise you, he's going to be recruiting hard locally. When you think about Kinston, when you think about Farmville Central and South Central alone in Pitt County, and there's, of course, other ones that we could go on and on. We don't have time to
list. You can recruit Pitt County, Lenoir County, and Craven County, and Phillip and Ice basketball team at the Division I level.
Yeah, there's a lot of great talent, and especially we're going to have Steven Igo whenever his schedule permits. He, of course, is in Seattle this week. He told me a month ago or more when we were talking, he said, I'm going to be in Seattle, and they're going to pick the basketball coach when I'm out in Seattle on vacation to see his favorite baseball team is the Mariners. He's out there and done an excellent job. I want to give him a shout-out for all the hard work on vacation on the left coast while he's trying to vacation and still working.
You could have just totally put him over instead of saying he was vacationing. He flew all the way to Seattle just to cover the Pirates. Against Washington this weekend. He was that dedicated. He flew out there on his own dime just so 24/7 Sports could cover East Carolina at Washington in baseball this weekend.
That too, but, you know, we got a roll deal where we had no choice to pick that series up because somebody canceled us. It always seems like teams cancel on East Carolina no matter what the sport is, but unfortunately that's why we're having to go out to Washington to play. They're the only one. But – yes, he proud of Igo and all the hard work and all the folks there at 24/7 Sports with Hoist the Colors. By the way, give them a shout out. If you've never been to the site, you're a Pirate fan, do yourself a favor. It's a great site. Kyle and I both are members there, and you can learn a lot about recruiting. You can learn a lot about All the latest in pirate news. Parts of it's free. Parts of it you have to pay for. So make sure you check out Hoist the Colors.
Hoist the Colors, great site. And I don't mean to cut you off there, David, but I just wanted to get this out. Don't want to hide behind any screen names. I am Bleeds Purple. David, you are what, Pirate 1995?
That's correct. So okay. If you want to, yeah, so, yeah, we're not hiding behind anybody. We did that. I'll put my name if people want me to. I don't have anything to hide. People know me well. If anybody will listen, I'm always talking about pirate sports, whether I'm at work, not at work, family reunions, doesn't matter. You're the same way. I know that you talk pirate sports pretty much 24/7. I wanted to get your thoughts. I know you said positives. Do you have any negative that Joe Dooley, him coming, or are there things you're worried about, concerns? You're Kyle from LaGrange, so I'm giving you the opportunity here. Do you feel anything, any negatives?
Well, nothing that's going to get me fired up, but I did see one thing that caught my eye. He has never, as a head coach, been past the first round of a postseason tournament, not counting conference tournaments. He's never been past the first round as a head coach of the NCAA or NIT. Now, with that said, he's had a postseason appearance every year he's been at Florida Gulf Coast in the NCAA or NIT. I believe there may have been one year in the CIT. And I don't think he made it past the first round there either, oddly enough. But that would be my only negative, and that's searching for a negative. If he gets us to the postseason, be it NIT or NCAA, and we get eliminated in the first round, I'm going to be okay with that.
By the way, I want to give Tom McClellan and staff an excellent job, ecupirates.com. We looked at it, 21 years of coaching with systems, between being an assistant coach and a head coach. His record is 486 wins, 206 losses. Very impressive. That, and listen to this. This is impressive to me. 9 regular season titles, 7 conference tournament championships, 12 NCAA bursts, and 5 NIT bursts. That's between, obviously, Kansas and the Florida Gulf Coast. But I tell you what, I really like that. If you break it down, his 9 seasons as a head coach, he's 171 wins, 110 losses. It's a 600 average. And then he at East Carolina from 95 to 99 when he was coach, he was 57 and 52. So he's in the modern era, like I've said before, I know he has the best winning percentage. And your buddy Dave Odom, who was here 79 to 82, had a 500 record, which was very impressive for a coach. But Dooley even beats Dave Odom, who was one of the most successful coaches in basketball. And you have to really look hard, like through a microscope, magnifying glass, to find the successes. So I think overall I'm very excited. I think, by the way, folks, you can go to ecupirates.com. They even have where you can put your deposits down on basketball season tickets, which is there's a euphoria right now today in the Greenville, Eastern North Carolina, with ECU fans, Pirate Nation, and I think they're taking good advantage, don't you?
That press release and bio that was released on ecupirates.com with the announcement of the hire today was incredible. There is so much information up there. If you're trying to find one specific thing, it's almost hard to find it because there's so much there. It even has his high school listed. I mean, it's an incredible job. There's a lot of, and like you said, a lot of excitement. A lot of people are thrilled to have Dooley back, and there's a lot of optimism right now with Dave Hart, Joe Dooley. People, you know, kind of feels like the '90s. Like, you know, you want to put on your No Fear T-shirt, and maybe gave you a starter jacket. And little nostalgia in the air, and I would expect this will help football season ticket sales, to be honest with you.
Yes, it will. I tell you what, there's an excitement because there, you know, we've heard the term riding the ship. Just in the last couple of weeks, there's already 2 wins with Dave Hart, and we were worried about hoping for Dooley, hoping for a wow hire. And I do believe it's a wow hire with Joe Dooley. I think you're going to find that. One thing I wanted to mention, too, before I forget, I was almost going to forget this. I wanted to talk to you about expectations, and I wanted to send a message to the fans. As someone who's a huge basketball fan at a football school, I wanted to see before I die to have a successful basketball program. And I also, at the same time, know the history of our basketball program. I understand the culture of what we've seen over the last 30-plus years as a Pirate fan, and I can tell you that we need to have reasonable expectations. If you're a fan thinking he's going to the tournament in the first year, please, please, please be reasonable. You know what's funny, by the way, Kyle, is I actually found myself this morning when I was preparing for this podcast, I found myself making a lot of the same things we've heard about Scotty Montgomery, and we've got to give him time. He's got to have a chance to get his recruits in. There was a lot of stuff I was thinking. I was like, oh, my God, I'm starting to sound like.
Totally, but it's totally different, David.
I know it is. I know I was saying, but my point, that was what I was getting at, is we need to have reasonable expectations. Give him a chance. He is a heck of a recruiter, man. He's recruited guys that are in the NBA right now. And granted, it was at Kansas. You're not, like you said earlier in the podcast, by the way, an emergency podcast, Joe Dooley, back at ECU. But welcome back. And, you know, one of the things I want to mention, the title of the show is Reunited, and it feels so good. But having said all that, with all the euphoria.
Who's saying that song, David? Reunited in the Fields?
Peaches and Herb. Peaches and Herb.
That's right. Peaches and Herb.
Don't get me started on my music, nerd. I've been good up to this point. But I wanted to tell folks, please have reasonable expectations. Let's give this guy a chance to get, seriously, his recruits in. I think it's a completely different animal. Ironically, if you can, we need to go out. Even if you're a football fan, support Joe Dooley. He's a really good guy. He's a Greenville guy. And you know what? It would be nice to have stability at the basketball program where if you are a football fan and that's all the sport you care about, then you can actually, we can focus on football. If we have the basketball program and baseball, and there's a lot of other sports that are doing a lot better. Baseball is way better this year. Very excited to see to have a chance to host a regional if they can keep it up. But that's a whole other podcast. We need to do one, I guess, on baseball, don't we, soon, Kyle?
Absolutely. Cliff's got the boys rolling. Another win tonight over the Watford Terriers. Not the best week to play two midweek games with the trip to Seattle to play Washington. But
well, we're tough, man. We're tough. He's got those boys. They're true grit. It's like John Wayne, man. They're gonna.
You know, and I said we won the night over Whopper. We were leading 13-8. I actually quit listening to do the podcast in the night. So I'm hoping we hung on to one.
You know, we're Pirate fans. We got to finish strong. So what are I'm going to leave my next question to you. When I said reasonable expectations, I want to get your thoughts, and I'm going to tell you where mine are for next year, but I want to get yours first. And I'm not going to copy you, so don't worry.
My thoughts for next year? My expectations?
Yeah, what are your expectations? Because let me say this before. I was going to say this real quick. We could have been when – remember when Lebo went down as – I don't mean that bad way, when he resigned is what I'm trying to say. It was a 2-4 record with games against Central Connecticut State. Now, Radford was actually a good team we lost to, but – there were some of their losses we lost to that were
A&T
and the A&T game and the Central Connecticut State. There was a couple in there that were unexcusable. But anyway, he started out at 2-4 on the year. They had given it a real easy schedule to prop him up with 19 home games. A lot of those non-conference were easier games. And what happened was, out of the first six games, he's only 2-4 when he probably should have been more like 4-2 or 5-1, something like that. The Radford loss was not really a bad loss. But anyway, I wanted to give a shout out to Michael Perry and all the staff because they took that team that had two wins and they got 10 wins when it could have easily been the worst season in the history of Pirate basketball. I'm saying I'm being really real and not exaggerating. He had the potential that's with that extra slow start to be really bad. So I wanted to give them a shout out. And as far as expectations now, having said that, with 10 wins this year, what do you think?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I would expect us to play competitive basketball from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. That's what I would say. As far as any kind of postseason expectations or a winning season in year one, I don't know. What I'd like to see us do is not lose to any schools like Central Connecticut State or A&T, beat the teams you should beat, and be competitive even in losses when you're playing good non-conference opponents and certainly in conference play. Look, I heard a lot of people talk a lot of nonsense about the American being a so much better conference for us in football than the Conference USA was. Look, folks, it was pretty much the same teams.
Yes.
But in basketball, UConn, Cincinnati, Wichita State, Temple, not to mention the good teams that were in Conference USA before, like Memphis and Houston. So in basketball, it's the real deal. It's a big step up. It's kind of like the original Conference USA was in basketball when we were playing Louisville and Marquette, DePaul, Cincinnati, et cetera. So, yeah, he's got a ways to go. And what we got to start doing, you know, I know we're talking about expectations for this coming year, but what we got to start doing is what you spoke of earlier. We got to start being able to recruit in our backyard. If we're ever going to build this thing, if we're ever going to build a basketball program, we have to be able to recruit our backyard. So that would be another big expectation for me is come signing period to sign some kids from the East.
Yeah, I think that I'll tell you what my expectations are. You started off with correctly. We need to win a good portion of the non-conference games that are designed to set you up for a nice season. You know, you need to have probably, I would say, in the double digit, if possible, or close to double digits by the time you get to conference play. I don't know if that's achievable this year, but that's what you would like to have going into conference play. And then you look at, so your non-conference, you need to win as many of those as you can, especially the ones that you're set up to to win. Then you have the lower half of the conference. Those are games that we need to this year and between this year and next year be competitive with, you know, getting some of those wins. And then it would be nice if in the first year or two you could sneak up on some of the big dogs like Wichita State and maybe the Cincinnati's and SMU or any of those guys way up at the top. If you can pull off a couple of those upsets, then you might have yourself where you can be in the neighborhood of 15 to 17 wins. I don't know if that's achievable in the first year. I think that would be I think Dooley would be coach of the year in the American if he could pull off a whole bunch of wins in the conference, but it seems like we do very well.
You heard it here first, guys. 17 wins, a win over Wichita State, Memphis, and a trip to the NIT in the first year.
I didn't say that. I'm just pointing out what you need to do. You need to be competitive. You need to win a lot of the games in the non-conference. You need to be competitive in the bottom half of your conference where you are with those teams, and then try to see if you can sneak up and steal a couple of the top-tier tournament teams, NCAA tournament teams, if you could get regular season wins over those guys, maybe a win or two in the conference tournament, and if you get knocked out, then so be it. I mean, I don't think there's anybody right now listening, or even us, that thinks that we're going to go postseason after the conference tournament. I think that would be that's a Hollywood movie script that you and I could definitely write. I just don't think it's going to be the script for next year, but I think that I think people, as far as long-term, I think that people are excited. I want to ask you this question. If you think postseason beyond the conference tournament is possible, where do you think Dooley would have to, in your eyes, if you were to be satisfied, where do you think, what year would that come in? Would it be year 3, 2, 3, 4? Where do you think that's going to come in for, like, the NIT?
Well, if you're talking, well, I mean, I guess it's a possible in year one that maybe we can make a CBI type thing.
Right.
I don't think we can play in the CIT now, if I remember correct, because we're not considered a low major or whatever, or a mid major.
Yeah, it'd be an IT. It would be an IT or NCAA, and I just don't see NCAA the first.
Right. I would say realistically, he needs to get 2 recruiting classes in here. So I would say year 3.
That's what
would be with his first shot at an NIT or a NCAA. I think that's realistic. He just needs to build. He needs to build this thing, and we just need to like the product that we're seeing on the court.
You know what's funny that you said that, and here I go again. You know how when Comper last year said about the renovation, you know, the renovation, we heard that a lot. Well, yeah. I think the renovation is actually not football. He had the wrong sport. It's actually basketball. And I think that the renovation is going to come in basketball. I think you're going to see Dooley sell more season tickets. I really do. I think you're going to see him going to a lot of, I hope he goes to a lot of civic groups, churches, anywhere people listen to him, kind of like what Bill Herrien did. I thought Bill Herrien was excellent when he came in. He spoke to people. He was really good with the students. I think Joe Dooley will do an excellent job, too. I think that's one of the things I noticed missing in the last few years. The students are not coming out to the games. And the Menchie's Maniacs, man, used to be tremendous. I mean, that used to be, what is it? I think it's about 2,000 students you can get in there.
Yeah, something like that. They tried to get it going a little bit more this year. The Student Pirate Club did with the Menchie's Maniacs. But that's something that needs to come back. And you're right, Beulville and all that when Harry was here. Dooley, I think, will be – that's one thing maybe before he wasn't the most outgoing because he was a very young, inexperienced guy. He'll probably be able to be – he'll probably be able to know how to shake hands and kiss babies more now. And so I think – but something you mentioned earlier about – will Dooley help season ticket sales? And yes, I think he will. I think something else we need to do, and this will be the responsibility of Joe Dooley along with whoever the AD is, we need to have a more interesting non-conference basketball schedule. It doesn't necessarily have to be
tough,
super hard, but it needs to be interesting. You know, Appalachian State, Western Carolina, UNC Asheville, UNC Greensboro, before mentioned some of the CAA schools, William and Mary, Richmond from the ATN, if we could get an E&M down here.
Old Dominion,
exactly, from Conference USA.
Richmond Spiders, when we had them back in the day, and VCU are very good.
Exactly. I mean, those are great. Those would be really competitive games. That would be – playing Richmond and a VCU would be about like playing an American team.
Right.
So you need to make the schedule interesting. Like I said, even if it's not super tough, fans are going to get way more excited about playing Appalachian and UNC Asheville, UNC Greensboro than they are against Central Connecticut State.
The only two games that were interesting to me were the Radford game, which I knew that was a good team, and the other one was Rutgers being a Big Ten school. And outside that, those are the two big ones I can think of.
Yeah, and Rutgers was on the road.
Correct.
And, you know, and for the God's sake, I know their head coach is from Washington County, but can we stop playing Grambling?
I mean, really? Yeah, we've got to do a better job of, I think the first few games you have are more what people would call cupcakes or games that you set up so you can have wins. But then once you get to before that Christmas break, you need to be playing some teams. I think one of the things that's bothered me is I understand you're trying to get wins, and I've tried really, really hard to understand because of our not successful basketball seasons. We've had so many of them. But I think one of the things we need to do is definitely play a VCU, or you play a team like Richmond, like we're talking about, or somebody from the ACC or one of the big Power Five leagues, because you before conference play to get you acclimated to conference play. I think when you play so many of these games where they're supposed to set you up to win, but the problem is it doesn't set you up for conference play, right? I mean, early on you want to have those games, but not when it gets closer to tournament time in January.
There's just so many good basketball programs, even outside of the ACC and the Carolinas right. and Virginia. I mean, you know, we didn't even mention the school like Davidson.
Davidson,
North Carolina. Why don't we play Davidson there? I mean, maybe they're not interested in playing us home and home, but let's talk to Davidson. Coastal Carolina has a strong basketball program. They're in the Sun Belt now. I mean, there's so many schools that would be interesting to play that the fans, either they don't have to even be from the ACC or from the Power Five. There's so many good teams in this area that I just don't understand why we're not playing them unless there's no interest on their part.
It's funny because you mentioned that, but not only that, but what's great about college basketball, with football you have about 130 teams. What is it, 321 teams for basketball? If my memory
serves me, it's over 300.
Yeah. And the great thing about it, look how many Division One basketball teams we have in just North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina. In other words, you and I both, over the last year, I've learned more about the budget that I didn't know before. But if you think about basketball, those are bus trips. There's a whole – that was what's great. Speaking of Dooley, back in the day in the CAA, you had a ton – every single school was geographically very, very close. So you had a bus trip away. There's a lot of schools that we could play. You could go on and on and on.
And there was one game.
High Point with Tubby Smith going to High Point. You could
exactly.
play High Point.
We are playing Charlotte. That's a game that we both forgot.
Charlotte is a great school. Yeah.
Yeah, and we need to keep playing Charlotte in basketball.
I knew you were going. I was waiting for that. I was waiting for it. I know you really well. I was waiting for. I know you don't like the Charlotte series in football, but that's a whole other thing. I wanted to ask you. We were talking about recruiting, and Dooley is huge on recruiting. He's a recruiter. I'm just curious to see, one of the questions I have before we talk about recruiting is, do you think he's going to bring his staff? Do you think some of the staff leaves? Do you think they all come with him? Because he had a pretty good staff in Florida Gulf Coast, is my understanding.
That's a good question. I don't know. I would imagine he'll bring some assistants with him. I doubt he'll bring his whole staff. I would imagine he'll probably go after somebody with some ties to this area, at least one or two people. That'll be interesting to see what kind of staff he puts together and who he brings with him from Florida Gulf Coast. Is there an assistant on Florida Gulf Coast staff now that's in position to be the head coach? Who knows? But that's a good question. Who will his staff be? There were so many rumors of who the head coach was going to be and if it was going to be Bill, that we hadn't had a chance to figure out staff rumors yet, but that's a really good question. I'm not sure. I would expect it'll be a mixture of a couple of guys from Florida Gulf Coast and then maybe somebody with some North Carolina ties, something like that.
Here's two questions I have for as far as staff or people you do know, and that is, would you hire, this is an interesting thing we saw on Hoist of Colors, would you hire a Bobby Lutz as your associate head coach?
If he wanted it, and if he could check his ego at the door. And then I'm not saying Bobby Lutz has an ego.
Right.
I'm saying he wanted the job.
Right.
And he's going to have to realize Joe Dooley's the head coach and he's the assistant. If he wanted to come here as an assistant, if his feelings didn't hurt that he didn't get a head coach job, and he wants to play second banana, so to speak, absolutely. I mean, Bobby Lutz is a heck of a basketball coach.
Recruiting North Carolina ties. The other question I was going to ask you, would you keep a Michael Perry who's been here for a long time? You don't keep him?
No, don't keep the previous head coach. He was the head coach that creates conflict with the players. You do not keep the previous head coach, even if he wants to stay. He was interim head coach. For all intents and purposes, going back to last year, he's been the head coach here for a year now. I mean, with Lebo's hip surgery, and then Lebo resigning after early December, he's been the head coach basically for 2 years here. No, that would create conflict with players. You got to have one chief and then a bunch of Indians to be politically incorrect. So no, I would not, and that's nothing against Michael Perry. I would say that no matter who the coach was in that situation.
Correct. And he, again, I got to give him a shout out to all the coaches on the staff that when Lebo resigned, it could have been absolutely, I know it had to be chaotic. It was a crazy work environment and lots of uncertainty over the basketball program the last 2 years with the hip surgery last year. And then this year, it's been crazy the last few years with basketball. And now I want to thank Michael Perry. If you know him, please let him know that there are a lot of Pirate fans that we were very happy that he was able to get 10 wins because, oh, my goodness, I tell you, man, I never told you this and I never said it publicly, but I was very worried. We started 2-4. I'm like, man, it's going to be rough to – can we even get double digits this year? I mean, I really was worried about that, and I'm glad we did. But kudos to him for a good job. I think he made definitely – chicken salad, so to speak. I wanted to ask you, because we're looking at the clock and we have a little bit of time here for sure. I want to ask you about renovations to Menjie's. I think it's something that when you hear people talk about things after the Southside Project as far as the athletic program is concerned, people mention an indoor practice facility. The second thing I always hear is renovations, speaking of renovations, to Williams Arena at Menjie's Coliseum. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
More comfortable seats if you happen to be over 250 pounds and above 5'10". It is not big boy friendly in there. Very uncomfortable. That's something that I wish they would address. I don't know if we would lose some seating capacity if we did that. But, you know, maybe it'd be worth it to drop down to 7,000, 7,500 seats if the seats were comfortable. And I think it would also help attendance. If people are more comfortable, they're more likely to come. I don't know if the roof's kind of low, but you know the big hanging scoreboards in the middle of the arena? Yeah, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. I'd love to see one of those in Midges.
It's very frustrating. I've heard my understanding is on that because I hate that we don't have one. It drives me – I could do a promo right now. I'm not going to do it, but it drives –
Do it.
It drives me absolutely nuts. We don't have a scoreboard. And I'll tell you why. Not this past year. The year before last, I'm at the Tulane game, okay, with buddies, and we're there. And we're sitting up there and having my son Alexander. And I had to ask guys, how many timeouts do we have? Because I couldn't see the scoreboard on either side, okay? Not only do you not have the one that's right there. My understanding is the structure, something with the structure is what I've been told a few times that can't support. I don't know. But I think that they need to figure that out. I also think that the seats like you're talking about is very true. I've thought about that. I think we need to do something with the inside of the arena as a whole, as far as let's bring in, like, you know how we have with the another thing I thought about is when you had Villa Verde and you had Smash Waffles and when you had
yes,
Parker's Barbecue. Let's have a lot of choices on the concourse. Let's renovate the concourse. That concourse has been the same for years.
Like whoever is in charge of that, the concessions at Menjie's are terrible. Yes. Terrible. Whoever, somebody, please listen to this. Terrible. You can get a hot dog and popcorn and a soda. Can you get anything else? I don't think so.
No, and the problem is that it's one thing if you go to a game that's not well attended. But let me tell you something. If you go to a game, and I can't wait for that problem to happen again, you have to wait in huge, huge lines because there's not enough vendors and not enough places to get even a drink. Maybe
not enough bathroom space when it's crowded in there.
Yeah, it's I think the problem is that particular part of the building they built many years ago when there wasn't the original attendance when I was at school, I believe was 5,300 or 5,500, and now the capacity is 8,000. So when they redid back in the middle 90s, when I graduated, they started in January of 95 on that renovation. I was a senior. That's why I remember, believe it or not. And they redid the seats. It's way better than it was, but parts of the building is the same. And so hopefully I want to see a renovation. In fact, I would love to see before I die. I would love to see maybe another venue at some point. Not right now. Notice I said not right now, but another arena at some point, but first you got to win. First you got to get people to go to the games and to support the programming, build the program before you can even think about that. But renovate what you have now and marketing. I wanted to ask you that because we do have a little bit of time. What do you think about marketing? If you were Joe Dooley, if you're the marketing staff, what do you do to market this team?
Well, winning was good marketing, but before that, I don't know. You really need to push the conference schedule. The conference mm-hmm. schedule is always going to be good, and you really need to push that hard. I would promote the return of Joe Dooley. I would promote what he did at Florida Gulf Coast. Beyond that, I really don't know of a creative marketing idea for basketball off the top of my head. But, you know, I think those are two things you can do is promote Joe Dooley and who he is and what he's done, and promote the conference schedule hard.
I think one of the ideas that I would like to see is, you know, I love basketball. I would like to see a real concerted effort. I have never been to one. I will make a commitment right now if they will tell me the date, to make sure to have it off. But I would like to see a concerted effort to Midnight Madness, whatever they call the – I think they could make this this one a huge success with Joe Dooley coming back. They have old basketball players, even like Blue Edwards, a whole bunch of players like that. Get Mike Steele and all the Coach Mack, a lot of the coaches that are still in town. Get a whole bunch of people back. A whole bunch of great players are back, maybe 100 different players, different teams. Create an excitement for Joe Dooley. Have the season kickoff. You know, that's what it is for Midnight Madness. There's a lot of people who love basketball. There's a lot of people who love Joe Dooley. There's a lot of people that really do want basketball to be successful. I think one of the things people, they want a winner, you know, no matter what school you're at, no matter if it's a professional team, college, like we were talking last week with Alan Vick, you're not going to pay money. Some people are just not going to pay money to watch even their favorite teams lose. And
some people, it's nothing more than a form of entertainment. And if you're losing, you're not entertained. And they're not going to spend their money to not be entertained.
And the money right now for still people in the economy, believe it or not, people don't have the extra dollars that they used to have. And let's be fair to our university as well. The cost of running things has increased. Basically, what's happening is the cost of things are going up, which the university can't help that. They're having to charge a little bit more for tickets. Plus, you have the team not doing well. So that's just a really bad formula. And I think one of the things is to get, like I said, get Joe Dooley out as many places he can speak, in Eastern North Carolina, especially. And I think that one of the things that we do, is we just focus on like maybe one time a year for the coaches to get out. Why not have the coaches speak more than the Pirate Club Armada? And I'm not picking on that. I'm just saying, have him out more, and not only recruiting, but he needs to recruit the fans, right? I mean, when we're talking about renovations, you've got to get a lot of those fans that used to go to the games in the days of the CAA or the Conference USA days. There's a lot of people that used to go to a lot of games, and they're not going to maybe a handful of games now.
Yeah, you got to market it. You got to market it. You got to market it. And like you said, I love your Midnight Madness idea. That's a great idea. I think that would get people excited. And I think this may be the year to do it, not only with Dooley coming back, but I'm a football guy. I think football's going to be bad this year. And I think people will be ready for basketball season because of that. And with Joe Dooley coming back, and this would be a good year to do a Midnight Madness. I think that's a tremendous idea. I think somebody at the university needs to take that idea and run with it. Something else that you mentioned before about it, the economy, you know, let's do some family packs. Let's do some 4-ticket packs during the season where, you know, you buy a 4-ticket pack for a discount price and it includes 4 drinks and 4 popcorns, something like that. You know, that get people out. Because let me tell you something, you get there and you go, and then you got to pay $25 for a bag of popcorn and a flat Coke. That's also a turnoff for a lot of people.
It is. And, you know, I was even imagining that this morning how cool it would be to have people tailgating in the parking lot of the arena, even in the cold, because the program was doing so well that you had to be there, you know, way before the game started, a couple hours even before the game. I know it's crazy. I'd love to see tailgating at basketball games. I know that's crazy, but we do it better than anybody else.
It reminds me of when the Hurricanes made their Stanley Cup run and people were tailgating and cooking pigs out in the parking lot before the Stanley Cup playoffs.
By the way, guess who's coming on the podcast? We're going to go ahead and announce it right now. Speaking of cooking pigs, he's one of my really good friends from UNC-TV. Bob Garner is coming on our show in an upcoming episode, and we're going to talk about cooking pigs and tailgating and a whole bunch of stuff that you can go ahead and get your plans right now of what maybe tailgating supplies and food and restaurants. It's going to be a lot of fun and sports, and that's going to be an upcoming episode. I just want to go ahead and promote that, by the way, a shameless plug. But he's going to be coming on, and I really think that we could see that kind of atmosphere. It may not be year one, so going back to reasonable expectations, keep that in mind. I think the folks are going to have to give Dooley, like I said, the third or fourth year we could see an NIT. I really think that's reasonable. I don't think that's a pipe dream. It's a pipe dream in year one. But I think once you see what the talent we have now, plus what the talent that Coach Dooley and his assistants get, man, I'm telling you, it could be something special. Right now, to get to an NIT would be, would you put a statue of Dooley out in front of Williams Arena if we go to the NIT?
In year one, yes.
No, well, I was saying, well, even if it's year two or three, I would do it.
well, you know, that's got to be, you've got to figure the expectation is to at least make the NIT by year three or four.
Yes.
Or what's the point of making a change?
Exactly.
If you want to build a statue, that's fine. I tell you
I'm
what.
I'm not putting a statue up.
If he makes us a consistent winner, and I don't mean postseason every year, I mean winning records and being competitive every year at an NIT and an NCAA every couple of years, I'd build a statue to him because that hasn't been done at East Carolina before at basketball.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do right now. If Joe Dooley makes us a winner, I'm naming the court after Joe Dooley. I'm telling you right now, Dooley Court at, what would that be, Williams Arena at Menchie's Coliseum. I don't know, it's maybe too much, but Dooley Court. You heard it here first, Dooley Court. I've been waiting for the whole podcast to say it. If he does well at this university, we got to name the court after him. What do you think?
If he makes us a consistent winner, I it's fine with me. Dooley Court it is, because he would deserve some naming recognition to turn this thing around and make it a consistent winner. Absolutely.
I have not heard anybody in the media, fans, or anybody say that yet. So note on this podcast we're recording, and it's up here, and you know the date and everything that I said, Dooley Court, in case we do. I just have a good feeling about Joe Dooley.
Copyright 2018, and I got one too.
Yeah, what is yours?
Forget Dilly Dilly. Dooley Dooley.
Dooley Dooley. We had, so many great songs that we could talk about. Welcome Back. And, like, instead of Welcome Back, Cutter, we talked about Reunited, and It Feels So Good. There's so many. There was a great song by Emmy Lou Harris back years ago, Together Again.
Dooley from the Andy Griffith Show.
I love that. You got that one. That one was one I didn't even think about. It was way... It was perfect. My wife is a huge Andy Griffith fan, and give a shout-out to my beautiful wife, Kirsten. And she loves it. You know when you think you're a fan of, like, a sport, and then you find a cow from LaGrange? in this particular case, my beautiful wife, I'm a huge fan of the Andy Griffith Show, and she knows the episodes, she knows the season, she knows, you know, when did Barney leave the show? So she knows all that stuff, and I feel very, you know, like, okay, I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm not really a fan like I thought I was. Same thing with the sports, man. You find, like, there are many guys like Pirate Al out there, and there's Kyle from LaGrange. There's a whole bunch of great fans in the Pirate Nation who, just when you think you're a big fan, you meet people that are like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, what do you think about this? And you're like, oh, I forgot all about that. Or I didn't know that. So especially the one area that I have worked really hard over the last year, getting ready for this podcast, I knew I was going to do it, especially joining Hoist the Colors, was I am not the financial guy. So I've been working really hard on doing that. And I wanted to ask you this question. Another thing, speaking of finances, and I forgot to ask you early on, do you think that we should do like with basketball, I mean with football, if Dooley does well in the next couple of years, do you give him a contract extension? We've had that problem in the past with giving coaches extensions and athletic director extensions recently, and it didn't work out in our favor. What do you think?
Well, I wouldn't do it after year one or after year two maybe after year two if he had a really spectacular year. But after year three, if he's winning, then, yeah, you go ahead and extend him by another 2 years. And you put that contract back out.
But don't do a five-year deal, right?
No, because if you do a five-year deal when you already have 2 years left, that's going to put you 7 years.
Right.
So you do another 2 years on top of two, and that gives you four more years. And you give them a nice raise. So absolutely no. But I think right now, you know, he just got the contract signed today, so I'm sure he's happy where he's at right now. But, yeah, in the future, yeah, you have to protect. If somebody's winning, you have to give them a contract extension to protect your investment and keep them from being easily poached and to give them a raise and to show them you're happy with them. But you got to be smart with it.
We got a few minutes left of the podcast, so I want to get your thoughts on what do you think, any future thoughts? What do you think about, we talked about renovations. What do you think the future is for this program? I just want to get your final thoughts on, I know you're happy with the hire. What do you think the future is with Dooley as our new head coach?
Well, I hope we start recruiting well. I hope we recruit Eastern North Carolina in particularly and onward and upward. And we go to heights never before seen on a consistent basis at East Carolina basketball. And quite honestly, it won't take a lot of success to do that in the grand scheme of things. If you average 16, 17 wins a year at East Carolina in basketball, you're a pretty successful coach. And that's what I hope I see is Dooley here for a long time, and we're not making a coaching search in basketball for a number of years to come.
Exactly. Being the age 52, like I said earlier in the podcast, he could be here a decade, 15 years or something like that, and retire here in Greenville. And we could have a huge ticker tape parade as he being the best coach ever at East Carolina. You never know what's going to happen. It's really, I was talking about gambling. It's still a gamble even with whatever coach, and I'm not knocking Dooley. And they know that in this business is a gamble, even if you have a safe bet, right, no matter who you have. But I think it was a safe hire. I think, you know, a great decision. We're in the heavyweight league. You didn't need to have somebody that you don't know if they're going to be a heavyweight or not when it comes to coaching. I think he's got money now. He can get some really top quality guys, the guys he wants in. Maybe even his guys at Florida Gulf Coast, or if those guys leave, get some guys in, a guy or two that's really good. Recruiting. I think you got to recruit really hard, especially at Eastern North Carolina. You don't need to have a guy that's from several thousand miles away, unless, well, there's some European guys I guess you could get as well, or some players.
Moosa.
What's that? Yeah, exactly. There's guys that we can get. So, but the bottom line is most of the guys you can get are a gas tank away. You can bring in that fan base that's from, even if it's a guy from Pitt County, Lenoir County, if it's somewhere in the state, we've got the kid from Heritage High School coming down. I think it's Jalen Borders. Is it Borders? Is that right? Coming up, my memory is not good. But you can get a guy from Wake Forest. He's going to be excellent as a freshman coming in. This coming year, the recruiting class we have in is pretty good coming in. And then we'll see how many players. Hopefully, I wanted to mention this, too, before we forget. We've got about a minute or so left. I wanted to mention, too, that I'm praying that we can get a program where we have stability of not a whole bunch of transfers. It seems like East Carolina is a revolving door. I get used to these players. And you know what? They're one and done, and they're not even going to the NBA. They're done. They're going somewhere else. So, hopefully we can, that will be my final thought. I hope they can keep players at the university.
That's an epidemic in college basketball as a whole, but it particularly seems bad at East Carolina. We do need to get kids here and keep them here and have them be Pirates for 4 years. That'd be nice.
Well, Joe Dooley is back, and you know what? I want to remind folks, by the way, thank you, by the way, Kyle. I want to say thank you to you. Not only for helping with this, but thank you for our first month. We've had a lot of listeners. I'm so shocked and surprised, and I'm not just exaggerating this. The God's honest truth, I have the analytics to prove it. I want to thank folks for that. I want to invite you, if you love this, please subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast and put a review up. Like us on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. We're working on our website right now. I want to thank Kyle for helping out with the Facebook page. We're putting up articles. We're going to write more stuff. As the time goes on, we've got a lot of great features. We have live events coming up we're going to be talking about. We're not going to give the details just yet, but Kyle and I and a whole bunch of people are working on right now. Right, Kyle?
Absolutely. It's going to be big. Won't tease it too much, but I would say it's going to be a little nostalgic for everyone.
Yes, that will definitely give a little tease. And when time gets closer in the next month or two, we're going to start promoting what Kyle's talking about. And as always, there's going to be more features and different things for the show as we move along the podcast. And so it's one of those things that's like it's growing, and we have to keep working on it. We're going to get better and better and better, and it's all because of you, the listener. So make sure, again, to like us on Facebook. You can add, follow us on Twitter is @TheSports and capital letters OBJ. We're also adding more things on social media. So definitely do that. Kyle Barber, Kyle from LaGrange, dude, thank you so much. I know we've been working hard on this for the last few days. You were kind enough to be with me tonight as we get ready for the press conference. I know there's a big event at also Uptown Brewery tomorrow for, I think it's 5 to 6, for a meet and greet with Joe Dooley as the new coach for Pirate fans. But until next time, and there's going to be hopefully not too many more emergency podcasts in the next few weeks, but I appreciate your time, and I appreciate all the hard work you've helped out the podcast tremendously over the last month.
Thank you very much, David, and Dooley Dooley.
Until the next time, you've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.